it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Sirianni, of course, the head coach of the Eagles, brought to us by Bud Light. The Bud Light Eagles pep rally is this Friday night at Flanagan's Boathouse. Hang with Ava Graham, swoop, and score tickets to the Eagles home game versus the Rams. Head coach of the 2-0 Birds, Nick Sirianni. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Nick, hi, coach. Congrats on the latest victory, 2-0. By the way, we now know you're a big fan of 8 Mile and Eminem, quoting him going off the that was quite a moment. You were fired up going into that locker room.
Yeah, it's always, you know, you're always emotional after a game. At least I am. I don't know.
Sure.
There's a lot of hard work that goes into it. There's some meaning behind that, why we were singing that and everything like that. But it was a really good win against a really good opponent in a hostile environment, and those are hard to come by in the NFL.
How much did you strip the offense down for the noise in Arrowhead, Coach?
Yeah, you know, obviously every time you go into a loud environment, which every place is loud, but this place is unusually loud, you have to go through a process to you know, what can you call, what can you not call, what kind of pre-snap motion and different communication things can you do. So there's always adjustments made in every environment, and so those things were all thought of, and obviously you do a little bit different things on the road than you do in a home game.
How can you create more explosive plays?
Yeah, that's something that we definitely have to be able to do. It's hard to, you know, slowly move the ball down the field. Now it happens, and you want that, but we know a big part of our offense is being able to create explosive plays. That comes in a lot of different shapes and forms. You know, it could be a run play. We had a lot of those last year, right? With those, you know, I think Saquon had the most 50-yard or 40-yard plus runs in the NFL last year. But, you know, it can also be a deep shot over, you know, I think everyone thinks explosive, but you got to throw, you know, kind of the play we had in the Super Bowl to Smitty. That doesn't have to always be that way. It could be a short pass. It could be a screen pass. It could be a, you know, it could be an intermediate ball. It could be an over-the-top ball like that. So, you know, we have to be able to move the ball down the field explosively, as well as being able to be efficient. We've been efficient being able to move it, but, you know, we have to be able to do both. And obviously that's always part of, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, that's the plan this week, because it's always part of the plan, and we have to do a better job as coaches to help the guys be in position to make plays, and then the guys got to go out there and execute. So that's always on the forefront of our mind, and you know that started yesterday for the Rams preparation, and they'll continue on today.
Nick, our guy here, James Seltzer, in the 6 o'clock hour, and me and him got in a heated discussion on if you were A.J. Brown, would you be frustrated? So I would be. I'd be happy to be 2-0, but I'd be frustrated to not get the ball more. If you were A.J. Brown, would you be frustrated?
Yeah, you know, I think, and that's good debate, and I get that. You know, I think everybody has an opinion on, like, what guys should feel or what they shouldn't feel or this and that. The fact of the matter is, you know, there's a lot of things that we go about our business with and say, you know, people might not understand this, but that's okay. We're a team. And I love AJ's selflessness. We saw him for an entire year, right? We saw him for an entire year. And now he had 1,000 yards last year and played really well and made a lot of really good plays for us. But, you know, obviously we ran ran our offense last year through Saquon. He had 2,000 yards, right? So we saw him for an entire year do the things necessary to help us win without the ball in his hands, while also getting the ball. And so, Like, we talk about this.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot. We don't have to transform ourselves what the outside world wants us to be or expects us to be, right? And so, and that's part about being part of a team. Like, hey man, the outside world says AJ should be mad here. Well, you know, that's just not reality of a football team. And it happens with a lot of different topics. So, you know, AJ has been a great teammate. No doubt in my mind that, you know, that there's a lot of overreaction week in, week out in the NFL. I mean, we play it once a week, and we're not like a baseball team that plays every day. You play once a week, so there's a lot of things to talk about. So we understand that. So it's a roller coaster out there, and our job is to stay steady. Like, for us to be a successful team, A.J. Brown is going to have the same production that he's had the last 3 years here. And in the midst of a 17-game season, you don't ride the roller coaster off of 2 weeks. And that, I'm not saying shoot, by no means am I saying you guys shouldn't do it. I mean, that's your job, right? That's what you guys do. I just, you know, but that's another thing. Like, that's not the reality that we have to live to in the building, right? And so you're constantly fighting human nature, constantly fighting outside noise, because our job is to put our head down, go through the process of preparing each week and get ready. And what I've been saying to our guys is find a way to win each game, take a ton of pride in winning any way we can, and then work to get better throughout the week. Repeat, repeat, repeat.
Last week it was tough. You know, Steve Spagnuolo made it tough on our offense because he just threw the kitchen sink at the offense. And when I played coach the West Coast offense, we would handle blitzes with, you know, sight adjustments and hot routes and you know, the pass game blitz adjustments. In your offense, it doesn't feel like we use those as much. We utilize those things as much. Why is that?
Yeah, I would. I'm not going to debate with you on that. But there are, you saw some of the, like, we threw the ball to, they went a pressure and Smitty ran an out-breaking route, right, that he got us to third and one on. Same thing with AJ on a slant. There was a deep ball that was, you know, there's different forms of built-ins and there's different forms of sight and hot.
Right.
And we hit, you know, I thought with all those things that were coming at us, I thought the guys did a really good, Jalen did a really good job of getting the ball out of his hands to the receiver, you know, whether it was built in, whether it was, you know, a hot, he did a really good job of getting that ball to the guys in those scenarios when they did bring one more than you could protect, right? Because it's always, and that's what you're talking about, right? Whether it's away from the slide or not, you know, you're bringing one more than you can protect. And I thought, like, what I really loved what happened was, okay, the guy comes free, Jalen got the ball out of his hands. But sometimes when that happens, we know that everybody else is one-on-one when that happens. And really, you know, you could see, like, when we sacked Mahomes, for example, we sacked Patrick Mahomes when Drew Makuba came through, right? But we won our one-on-one with Zadarius, and then we had two people at the quarterback. Well, you know, the thing is, like, when those things happen in this game, we were really firm in protection by the offensive line and by our backs. And then Jalen just had to beat one instead of having to worry about two. You know, another guy come free. So I was really pleased with how that worked out and how we handled that. And there were, you know, and again, like I said, I thought Jalen did a really good job. When we needed a huge play, they brought one more than we could protect, and he got the ball up and down to Smitty with the guy free in his face. You know, they brought one more than we could handle, and we made a big play. And you know, again, we just got to keep getting better. Are we where we want to be right now? No, but we're also at the second game of the season, And we know there's process and steps to this of getting to playing their best football by the end of the year.
Nick Sirianni here with us on WIP, 5 days from the Eagles and the Rams. Nick, let's talk about the tush push for the 5 millionth time. Are you tired of the tush push being treated with scorn by so many people across the nation? I actually do not think it should be in pro football. I'm one of the few locally that says it. Maybe I'm one of the few locally.
We strongly disagree with him.
Duck,
Nick. We hate it.
But
hey,
is
brother,
it?
Yeah. You better get off that train.
Yeah, we don't.
That's
like
what we're saying,
coach.
Man. We've been saying
like
it,
Joe.
Nick.
Our ratings would be higher. People.
He's bringing our show down, yeah. Nick. You know.
But Nick, the people like me, and it is more on the national level. I mean, the broadcasters, you have officiating. Is it frustrating to constantly have scorn presented toward your team for something you succeed with?
Now, that's a really good question, but I don't, just like I talked to you guys about a minute ago, I got to control the things I can control, and I can't ride the roller coasters of emotion of the outside this building. I don't watch any of the news stuff. I can't get myself into that because I want to be steady through it all. And, if I'm out there listening to somebody dog one of our plays, then I don't want to go there. Like, it's not necessary for me to go there. So I try to, the only time that I guess I'm answering questions like that is when I'm in the media. So I'm not seeing all the same things that you guys are.
Sure.
But I'm taking it from your question that we're getting a lot of pushback. Hey, I love the fact that we have a play that is really hard to stop that people want to ban. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's
sure
pretty.
Is.
When else have they done that? They did that with, they do that with Wilt Chamberlain,
yep,
when
dunking.
He was dunking too,
yep,
much.
Exactly.
They're afraid. They fear what they cannot stop.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I think that's pretty darn cool. When you can invoke people wanting to change the rules of the game to stop something that you do really well because of the players that you have on your football team. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
I admit that.
It's an accomplishment.
Nick, the defense, are they further along than you thought they would be when you knew in March you were losing, five or six really good players?
I think, again, there's steps to it. Are we playing good football right now? Yeah. I mean, did we have some things that we want back from the Dallas game? Of course. And even last game, right? We got the, they had a couple plays that, you look at, and we got to do better at in those aspects. But, there's process to this. There's steps to this. Did we play a really good game on defense on Sunday? We did. I thought fundamentally we tackled really well. Fundamentally we got off the blocks really well. Fundamentally, we were able to take the ball away. I counted them as two turnovers because, we stopped them on fourth down deep in their territory. So fundamentally, being on the same page, all those different things, I thought we did a good job, and we got to continue to get better at that. We get better at the whole, the whole deal. But I did think we played really well on defense on Sunday.
Coach, last year we blitzed, our defense blitzed defensive backs at the lowest rate in the NFL. And then on Sunday, we're sending DBs, we're single backer dogging them, we're stemming the backers, the edges, and we're sending them. It was aggressive.
Oh, you're fired up about that.
Blitz aggressive. what changed? Why was the defense so much more blitz aggressive on Sunday?
Every game, every year, every scenario calls for different. If we play it the same every single time, that's unrealistic. So, every game calls for something different. That's what the game called for. And maybe sometimes you go in with stuff and you don't use it. And sometimes you go in with stuff and you use it all. It's just the way I just, again, can't tell you how much we love having Coach Fangio here to be able to dial it up. One of the best in the business ever to do it, ever. And that's it's great to have him, and he's doing a great job of leading the defense.
And this week, what's the toughest part about scheming up a game plan against Sean McVay?
Yeah, I got a lot of respect for Coach McVay of everything that he's been able to do and the type of coach he is. You know, so he presents a lot of challenges, a lot of different things, a lot of different different looks that look similar. You know, they got really good players. You know, they have, you know, good receivers. They got a good quarterback. They got, you know, good running back. They're solid at the offensive line. So, you know, that, you know, him dialing it up, Coach McVay dialing it up with the players that he has, that's always going to present problems. But we got to go through our process, get ourselves ready to play this game. Obviously, we're early on in our preparation, but look forward to another opportunity for us to go out there and show we're tough, detailed together, continue to improve. When you play these opponents that we're playing, these solid opponents that we're playing, you know this. Like, you go against the Chiefs, who's a really good opponent, you're going to get better coming out of that game because you went against a really good opponent. We know the same thing. Is the case with the Rams.
Hey, Nick, good luck Sunday versus the Rams. And good luck trying to get to 3-0. Thank you, Nick.
Thanks, Coach.
Right, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni. All right, 215-592-9494. Eagles going to be favored in all these games up ahead for a while. I'd have to look to the next one. They're not, but you know they'll be favored for a while.
I heard they were 4.5 against the Rams.
Yeah, it's a good game.
4.5, that's correct.
Yeah. That's a good game. Yeah. That's a really good game. All right, up ahead, more of the audio from the Phillies locker room, the celebration that went down last night after the game as the Phillies clinched the division. That and your phone calls, reaction to Sirianni, Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.